Let's go to the business news now with Kim Savage. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning.
Well, Coca-Cola's price went flat. How's the rest of the
market? You wanted
to
use that again, didn't you? Wanted to come back with that. Well, there's a bit of breaking news, I guess you could call it, really. The Federal Reserve's statement on monetary policy out just a short time ago. This is, of course, in the US. Markets just digesting that news. No change in rates as expected, but there is a bit more optimism there over the way the US economy is recovering from the pandemic. Officials penciling in two possible rate hikes by the end of 2023. Which is a bit faster than markets had expected. So those hints at future tightening have seen the main indices on Wall Street extend their falls further. The Dow and the S&P 500 down close to 1%, and the tech heavy NASDAQ also down close to 1% currently. Back home, our top 50 index gave back all of Tuesday's gains in yesterday's trading, falling 115 points, just under 1%. It's at 12,582. And currency-wise, the dollar dipped a bit lower, 70.9 US cents. Of course, the US dollar strengthened following that Fed Reserve statement, and it's at 92.6 Australian.
Now, the government's given the nod to the New Zealand Reserve Bank to use debt-to-income ratios.
Yes, from one central bank to another, I guess it is, isn't it? The central bank has been wanting these DTIs for quite a while, but found little political support for them. Even now, the government's imposed a condition on these. DTIs must have a minimal impact on first home buyers. Senior property economist at research firm CoreLogic, Calvin Davidson, says that DTIs are more about insulating borrowers rather than the loan-to-value limits, which are based on the banks. And he says that the Reserve Bank's tooling up, but with LVRs and tax changes for investors, they're still working their way through the sector. It may be that DTIs sit on the shelf.
But they've said they're not going to be operational for another 6 months at least. And if we're right that the market has cooled by then anyway, we don't suspect those DTI rules will ever be enforced.
And more coming up from Calvin Davidson later in the hour.
Now, a shipping analyst is countering assertions that those high freight costs are necessarily driving inflation pressures around the world.
Yeah, so we know that freight rates have skyrocketed this year with port closures, disrupted shipping services, and the dislocation of containers. It's all come together to slow and in some cases actually halt transport links. And the added costs of the disruption are being held responsible for boosting retail prices. But Peter Sand of BIMCO, a shipping alliance, says the way the United States has gone about stimulating its economy is a more fundamental cause.
They are basically putting too much water into the bathtub, and of course that has to spill over into to increased prices on second-hand cars, for instance. But at the end of the day, if you can fit 10,000 shoe boxes into a 140-foot container, the shipping cost for travel half the way around the globe is still only $1 each. So it's not necessarily shipping rates, which are sky high, which is pushing up inflation.
Peter Sand there of BIMCO, and I'll be back later in the hour with the latest in business, and we'll, of course, have an update from the markets for you.